In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for hour number two for Tuesday, May 4th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Later on in this hour, we will take a look at training managers and mentoring managers at your agency and how it is being done, how it's working. Nancy Kichak of the Office of Personnel Management, just one of the people that you'll be hearing from later on in the hour. We begin, though, with the potential terrorist attack in New York City and the implications for efforts that the Department of Homeland Security has been making. This coming from Rich Cooper for what seemed like an endless series of weeks, DHS Secretary Napolitano was mercilessly mocked and derided for uttering three words following the failed Christmas Day bombing of Northwest Flight 253. She stated the system worked. As debatable as those words may have been to describe the failed intelligence and cooperation efforts, they seem to be the only words that accurately describe the unfolding results of the capture of the suspected and failed Times Square bomber. Those are the words of Rich Cooper writing on the Security Debrief blog today. Rich Cooper is a former business liaison director at the Homeland Security Department's private sector office, among other positions in government. And Rich is my guest now on In-Depth on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Rich, great to have you on the program again.
Great to be here, Francis. Thanks for having me.
I am sorry about the whole Ben Roethlisberger episode. I won't hold that against you, the fact that you did at least at one time own one of his jerseys.
Yes, well, let's just say it's nice to know that something belongs in a landfill, regardless of talent. I think any Steeler fan will tell you Ben is a scumbag.
All right. The matter at hand is this issue of this person who is, we're expecting in a courtroom in New York sometime this afternoon. But your belief the system worked, we got this guy, although if you look so far at what we know about it, he was not, shall we say, very well trained in matters of terrorism.
Well, there are those who would argue that the Detroit airliner bomber wasn't very well trained, but regardless of what training they had the intent to kill hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans. And while we can be grateful for their ineptitude, we have to be even more grateful for the work of alert citizens and passengers, and let alone the law enforcement persons that are breaking this case open as quickly as they have.
The issue of the people, the average citizens, you call them a T-shirt vendor. I had not seen that detail, but those are the people I think that deserve, not that the people that work for DHS and for the other law enforcement agencies that have worked on this case don't, they deserve some recognition as well. But it would have been real easy for that guy to say, well, that's weird, but we're in New York City and weird things happen all the time, so I'll just, you know, mind my own business and keep moving.
But the fact that he didn't, the fact that he followed through on the campaign, and you can see this plastered all over New York subways, the train stations, even in Times Square, the phrase, if you see something, say something. That's exactly what this gentleman did in alerting a police officer there who, again, approached the situation, saw what was happening, and was able to radio for backup and calmly and quickly get that area evacuated before something did happen. And again, the system worked to where, and again, we need to remember this, Homeland Security is a national mission. It involves all of us, not just some of us. And when the average citizen sees something that doesn't make sense, we can make breaks in cases. We saw this with the case in New Jersey as far as the pizza shop owner, that the drivers were looking for particular maps,
mm-hmm.
and which subsequently was revealed to be a potential threat against that military facility in New Jersey. We saw this with this T-shirt vendor in New York, as well as the citizens that were on Flight 253, that something was not right, and, you know, they were going to step forward to act.
How excited should we be? How happy should we be? How satisfied should we be about the interaction between agencies at the federal, state, local level. There's a lot of it. You detail some of this in your piece. But how psyched up should we get about it just yet?
I think we need to be very pleased with this, but we also need to be vigilant. This is one step in what has to be a longer walk and journey in maturing all of these agencies to be sharing more information and coordination. We're seeing the fruits of the success of when those things happen today. Because again, from Saturday night to almost midnight last night, this case is, we've found the person. Well, we believe we have found the person who parked that vehicle there to cause that carnage. And then as this case continues to unfold, with the arrests now occurring in Pakistan and more information being collected, who knows where else this might be. But we are seeing the fruits of a lot of labors from people at the department, the FBI, state and local law enforcement coming together to make sure that we make our homeland more secure.
There is as I said, you detail a list here of some of the things that went on as far as information being collected and exchanged. The police in New York City got Times Square evacuated calmly and orderly. There was no panic that erupted there. The Times Square images, I mean, we saw the picture of this potential suspect by yesterday morning. It was all over the news. It was not hard to find that guy's picture either in the media or on the internet. The tracking of the vehicle identification number. The thing that I thought was interesting was the guy obviously tried to remove the VIN from one location of the vehicle and didn't know that it was other places on the car. So
right.
It wasn't hard for him to find another VIN, track this down. He had bought the car on Craigslist. They were able to just the whole litany of information that was exchanged and so on, I thought, was a good testimony to what goes on.
And it calls out the relationships that are being forged between state and local and federal law enforcement, because again, all of these dots had to be connected. And we have seen any number of circumstances between, the Detroit airline bomber getting on the plane where, you know, dots weren't necessarily connected before things, quote, went operational. Here was a point where, yes, he had gone operational, parked the vehicle in Times Square, but we were able to connect these dots very quickly to find out who he was and where he was and find him on a plane on his way out of here and stop him.
And it was
that did not happen by accident. That happened by relationships, police, you know, good police work, and the experience that more and more of these team members are getting. This is a great metric by which to measure where we're going. We have a lot further to go, though, but we have to keep doing this every day. We did get lucky in this circumstance. And a terrorist, I think we all accept the fact, or should accept the fact, that one of these times, one of these devices will go off, and there will be the loss of life. But if we can work with the entities that we have in place and have them continue to share information, work together, we can defeat these bad guys.
The whole premise of this, though, is if you really drill down, I think, you find that a lot of these things happen because this guy wasn't very good. We're not going to be up against somebody who's not very good every time. And I just wonder whether we are ready to deal with another 9/11 kind of situation. Are we going to be in a position to foil something like that the next time around? I mean, there are some people who are saying this morning, this almost doesn't count because it was too easy.
Well, I think there are a lot of people who would like to discount some of these things, and I'm not one of those persons that looking to discount this. I look at this as a metric of success because this is what, from the very first day of the department, of Homeland Security's creation, it's been talked about increasing information sharing and being able to track down these sources so that we can stop, you know, future attacks from occurring. We have no idea yet whether this person is connected to larger networks or whatever they are, but we've got one piece of this puzzle that we're looking to connect so that we can thwart other activities as well as learn those lessons and apply them to mitigate against other threats. Again, you will always find persons who are going to look to Monday morning quarterback it. And as one friend had said to me, well, you know, he still got to be operational. Well, yes, he did get to be operational. Well, how did he get to be operational? We're going to look at the forensics of this investigation and figure out how he got all the elements he did in that vehicle and what he was doing.
Rich Cooper's a former official of the Department of Homeland Security, now a principal with Catalyst Partners and vice chairman of the Homeland Security Division of the National Defense Industrial Association. My guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My conversation with Rich and his blog post about the attack or the foiled attack on New York City will be available at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. And we'll continue our conversation in just a moment.
What is health information technology? How does the use of health IT benefit healthcare users and public health in general? What is being done to increase the adoption of health IT? Listen next week as these questions and more will be explored with Dr. David Blumenthal, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Make your dollar go further at Nationals Park. Get your rent on. Watch the Nats battle the Marlins Friday, May 7th through Sunday the 9th. Friday and Saturday, pregame party at the Miller Lite Scoreboard Walk with $5 Miller products. And Friday, the first 10,000 adults, 21 and older, receive a free cooler bag presented by Miller Lite. Sunday, Family Fun Day. And the first 20,000 fans receive a free water bottle presented by Harris Teeter. Visit nationals.com or call 888-632-NATS.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
A U.S. counterterrorism source in a position to know says there was a foreign influence nexus to the suspects linked to the New York Times Square attempted bombing. A Justice Department spokesman says the investigation continues and they're pursuing every lead to determine the identities and the motives of the persons responsible. Other U.S. officials say determining the nature of the influence will require more in-depth analysis. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
I'm Christopher Dorbeck. Here's what we're working on for this afternoon's Daily Debrief. The Defense Department is working on insourcing. One industry group says the plan to insource some critical function, off track. We'll talk to the Professional Services Council. And open government advocates have conducted an audit of agency open government plans. How'd you do? We'll talk to OpenTheGovernment.org. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Daily Debrief with Chris Dorbeck and Amy Morris, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Tired of playing catch-up with the news? Stay informed all the time with the Federal News Flash. The Federal News Flash is a daily email from Federal News Radio that will bring you the latest news and information about the federal government and the federal contracting world. Find out about exclusive stories and interviews only heard on Federal News Radio. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Rich Cooper, former official at DHS, and now with Catalyst Partners, also vice chair of the Homeland Security Division of the National Defense Industrial Association. We're talking about his blog post on that's entitled "The System Worked: Faisal Shahzad's Failed Bomb in Times Square." And there are some things here to be happy about, Rich. Obviously, the things that you cite in your post, you talk about the see something, say something. You talk about how the NYPD, the FBI, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, the components of DHS and state, local law enforcement all work together to do this. How confident are you, though, moving forward that these all these relationships are going to be sufficiently cemented that we can expect this kind of interoperability and interaction every time something like this happens?
The relationships to be cemented, I want them to be dynamic and flexible to meet an ever-evolving threat. If you're going to cement something, you can't move. And in this type of environment, you've got to keep moving, and you've got to keep your eye on the ball wherever else it might go. I guess what gives me hope is, again, in a point made earlier, this is the metric by which they're all going to be measured. I mean, if we continue to have failure after failure of information sharing, then we'd have to really go back and take a look at the organizations that we've set up, because they wouldn't be working. We saw in this event that they can work, and vigilance is going to be needed on all of their parts to keep this going. We cannot afford to be complacent in any information sharing environment, especially when we've got persons who have all types of means of which they're looking to render this country harm.
I want to go back to something that we touched on earlier, because it is, I think, the biggest component of this response. The response, I guess you could argue that all of the agencies involved, federal, state, and local, they did what they were supposed to do. They did their jobs, and they're to be commended for that. But I'll say again, the T-shirt vendor did something he didn't have to do. He said something when he saw something. What should the agencies be doing, not only at the federal level, but state and local too, I guess, but primarily the federal level? What should we be doing to encourage people that if you say something, you won't be dismissed, you won't be laughed off, information that you provide will be considered, and you're not a tattletale for providing information like this?
I think what you're talking about is literally sort of one of those crying wolf syndromes.
Yeah.
And again, there are going to be times when people see something and say something, and it is not, you know, a unfolding terror plot. And but we need to make sure that whenever persons are doing that, we thank them for doing that, and then explain why or why not it was not the threat that they thought it was, so that we can educate citizens about being a more informed public participant in their homeland. Again, we can look at the examples we have had, even going to the Flight 93 example, and I refer to the spirit of Flight 93 when in the skies over Pennsylvania, where they fought back against the 9/11 hijackers, that these persons were self-empowered, that they didn't want to have any more harm rendered to the country than what was already unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
They stepped forward to take action. The T-shirt vendor did that. The passengers, many of which were not Americans even, on the flight into Detroit on Christmas Day, stepped forward to take action. And that's where, you know, whether it is the human sense of self-preservation or it is that bit where I'm not going to let this go on anymore, I think we need to make sure we educate and we empower people so that they're not only safe, but others are also safe as well.
And on the other end of that, do we have the infrastructure in place to sort through all this information that's provided if people start providing it?
Well, that's where we're going to have to find out. And again, we are not for a lack of information that is out there between all the means that we use to communicate. You know, the challenge that all of these intelligence agencies have is to sift through all of it and find those key points that reveal, you know, an unfolding threat. That is always going to be a fluid and dynamic environment. And that's where, again, the forensics of this investigation, as we go back to figure out what was this person doing over in Pakistan in the months prior to purchasing this vehicle, who did he meet with, what are his other networks, all of those things are going to have to come out in this investigation, and they are a prime lessons learned environment that needs to be shared through all the intelligence apparatus, but also with state and local law enforcement, and where applicable, also citizenry.